Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. All right, well, welcome everybody, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast for June 27th, 2012. How are you? I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. I really do appreciate it. I hope you've been having a good week. I have a fantastic show for you this week. We are going to be talking about how our thoughts, the stuff that goes on in between our ears, really creates our reality, how our thoughts can transform our lives, and the power that we have that we don't even realize, or maybe we do, but we don't realize the extent of how powerful our thoughts are and how they can get us into trouble when we let them. So we're going to talk about the power of our thoughts in transforming our lives today. I've got a great bunch of news today. You're going to want to stick around for the second half of the program. Some really amazing studies that were done in the field of psychology. I hope you stick around. We're going to do some headlines, and hey, we have ourselves a fantastic program. So I'm glad that you are here. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. To the new subscribers to the podcast and the website, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us all in the Healthy Mind community. If you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate to contact me. The email, as always, peter@thehealthymind.com. Okay, now, this kept coming up this week, particularly in my sessions, but a couple of even personal experiences that really brought home the point of the power that our thoughts have. What we think really does become our reality. And I want you to think about that just for a little bit here. The implications of what that means. What we think will become our reality. Now, this idea isn't new by any means, and I'm not the first person to figure it out. I'm likely not the first person you've heard this from, but I wanted to share this with you and maybe give you a psychiatrist's perspective on this. But our thoughts really do create our reality. Now, what does this mean? What exactly does this mean? In case maybe you haven't quite heard about this concept. Anything that we want to do, anything that we wish to accomplish, create, achieve, whatever it is, can only come about through a spark of thought, right? Anything that you want to achieve right now, or have achieved, let's say, it likely started with a thought about what you'd like to do. Perhaps some of you thought all your life, I'd like to be married. I want to have kids. I want a certain career. I'd like a certain lifestyle. Whatever it may be. All of this began and came to fruition from the origin of a thought. The thought gave you the picture, and with that picture in mind, you move towards that goal. Thoughts are powerful. They're so amazingly powerful. And this is where I say, never doubt how truly powerful you are, because you are. I don't say that as a catchy phrase on this show. I mean it because I see it over and over and over. Your thoughts will create your reality. There was a very interesting book that was written and also a video that was made called The Secret. And it talked about the law of attraction. And whether or not you believe in that, and I don't really know that I do exactly in the way that they described it, but the essence of what The Secret talked about was what you think about becomes your reality. Anything that you wish in your life to happen can only happen if first you have that thought and see what it is that you want. And then secondly, that you believe that you deserve it and can achieve it. Those things have to be there. You have to do the work, don't get me wrong, whatever it is that you wish to accomplish or achieve. But in order to do so, it originates from a thought and a belief in yourself. That's it. That is the real secret here. I want you to really think about this because it does have profound implications for all of us. We must think the right thoughts, the positive thoughts, but not these fake, kind of patronizing, self-helpy positive thoughts. Realistic, positive things about ourselves. As I've said many times here in the past, when we talk about the strength that we have within us, I ask people to look within their lives about the reality of things that they have accomplished, of things they've had to overcome, of the adversity that has been in their life, and the resilience to transcend that difficult time. That's what you hold on to as proof of your strength. Not just a positive affirmation for the sake of saying it. It rings hollow. People are smarter than that. Just because you say something positive doesn't mean that you're going to feel better. It has to be authentic. But you have to say these things and then believe that you can accomplish it. So, so important. This is critical in the emotional state of well-being and in our physical state of well-being. And I'll give you examples of both. Now, first, on the physical. The essence of our thoughts is the basic premise, the basic understanding of cognitive behavioral therapy. What does this mean? As I had said earlier, our thoughts become our reality. And what happens often, particularly in depression and anxiety, is yes, the thoughts dominate and become our reality, but the thoughts are automatic and they are negative. People think and believe, I'm no good. I'm worthless. I don't deserve to be happy. Why should anybody love me? And just like the positive thoughts that we have about ourselves actuate our reality towards success, here in depression, which we see every day, the same principle occurs to the negative. Automatic thoughts that are negative do what? They become our reality. And what happens? People get depressed and anxious and they continue. But there's such great hope because one of the most powerful therapies is cognitive therapy. The fact that you can rewire your thoughts in an authentic way and simply rewiring your thoughts and thinking differently, challenging them, changes your emotional life. And you have the potential, and I've seen it happen, where people go from depressed to happy simply by changing their thoughts. Can you understand this power? It is such a powerful concept for everyone to realize, not just those of you who may be struggling with depression or anxiety, but just the point that your thoughts make your reality. Now, on the physical, it's the exact same thing. What happens? Now, for those of you who've been listening, you know one of my biggest areas of interest in psychiatry is understanding the way that we physically express our emotions. All different types of physical symptoms that we express because of our emotions. Psychological expression of physical symptoms. We've talked about that. The psychophysiologic disorders. And one of those psychophysiologic disorders that is near and dear to me is TMS. Physical pain that's caused, purposeful, as a result of our emotional struggle. So how do you change that? What's the basis of that? The basis there is to understand where your thoughts are coming from. Changing how you understand what that pain is, what that pain means, and then believing that that truly is a psychological origin to the physical discomfort and pain. And what happens? What happens? Individuals' pains will go away. It will go away the moment that you shift it away from thinking, oh my gosh, my back is hurting because I hurt my disc, to my back is hurting because I'm angry or worried or fearful or scared as heck. And the moment you change your thoughts, the pain starts to diminish. The moment you change your thoughts, the emotional pain begins to diminish. This is the power of our thoughts. It is an awesome, awesome power. But you have to first believe in yourself and your strength and your capability to change the way that you think and believe in yourself. The moment you begin to make those changes and truly believe that you are deserving of success, that you don't need to be in pain, whether it's emotional or physical, your world starts to change. It isn't magic, and this isn't a mind trick that I am trying to impart upon you. This is your own strength, your own capability, your own ability to affect change in your future and change your reality. You are so capable of it. We all are. This is why we are so powerful. This is the transformative power of thoughts and beliefs. It really is. It really is. I don't care what it is that you want to accomplish or achieve. Start thinking about it. I don't care how absurd it is or how far away or unlikely it is. If you really want it, if there's a change that you want to make in your life, start thinking about it as if it were reality, but believe in your ability to get there. Believe in it, and the world bends for you. This is the power of our thoughts. You're so powerful. I can't even begin to express it. Only your doubt in yourself is what is keeping you from achieving those dreams or getting out of physical and emotional pain. Your doubt, your fears, all of ours, our doubts and our fears, these are the biggest barriers to achieving anything we want in our life. But they're just thoughts. They're thoughts. And those thoughts can be changed. And when you do that, your reality changes. It really does. You know, I've given this example before of the circus elephant, this big beast tied to a bar at the circus with the thinnest of ropes. It's just wrapped around the bar a couple times. This elephant is tons and tons of beast, yet this little thin rope keeps it from going anywhere. Why? Well, in the past it's been trained, and that wasn't a rope before, it was a chain. And when it would pull, it would hurt. So it doesn't want to get hurt again. You can replace it with this thin little rope, and the elephant won't go anywhere. It won't go anywhere. It's a little thin rope. All it has to do is lift its neck, but it's afraid of being hurt, and it sits there. I'm not equating us to elephants, but this is what happens in our life. Our fears, our doubts, they get in the way. Because we fear the unknown then. We're worried about getting hurt. But we don't realize that that is just a thought, the fear and the worry. Just like that animal, all we have to do is change the way that we think and believe, and we're free. We're free. You are free. It is so important to understand this, because when you do, you realize that you have so much more power and so much control over your life, and it is a beautiful thing, because you see how your life can be transformed by just changing the way that you think. It's a big concept, and it takes practice, but it is doable. You can do it. And once you start believing that, oh, my friends, there's no limit to what you can do. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is such a wonderful, wonderful step to realize that you can take down our road to the healthy mind. And now, it's time for news. Okay, well, a very interesting week in health news, but a very busy one as well. The first story, the headline, Omega-3 supplements lower inflammation in overweight adults. Now, chronic inflammation, it's linked to a ton of conditions. Coronary heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, and even some of the leading data that's out there is implicating inflammation in depression. Well, new research from my alma mater, Ohio State University, shows that omega-3 fatty acids can lower inflammation in healthy but overweight adults. And what this study suggested was that regular use of these supplements may help protect and even treat certain types of illnesses. Now, I've been a big fan of the omega-3 supplements, the fish oils. Before you do anything, though, as always here on The Healthy Mind, if you're thinking about taking any supplement, make sure you're talking to your doctor or your healthcare professional. But there's a body of evidence that has emerged with regards to fish oils, omega-3 supplements, and depression and mood. Say nothing about the established data that's been out there, particularly for cardiovascular health and the like. But in particular with this study, what they found was with omega-3 supplements over a period of about 4 months, the researchers found a decrease in a protein in the blood that's kind of like a marker for the presence of inflammation. And this protein is named interleukin-6, or IL-6. And there's a significant reduction of that, over 10% of a reduction. And also, they found another inflammation marker, a protein known as tumor necrosis factor A, TNFA, that was reduced as well. And compared to placebo, these were significant changes in the decrease of these markers, and also that implied that there was a decrease in inflammation. Now, both of these proteins, they belong to a class of proteins, a family of proteins known as cytokines. And if you're doing any type of reading online, cytokines are very, very important in inflammation. When they're stimulated, they produce an inflammatory response. And this is what occurs when there is an injury or an infection. What had happened in this study was that they gave individuals either 1,250 milligrams or 2,500 milligrams of active omega-3 fatty acids. According to Dr. Kecolt Glaser from Ohio State University, quote, omega-3 fatty acids may be both protective so that inflammation doesn't go up, as well as therapeutic by helping inflammation go down. Now, they didn't find a whole lot of difference in the decrease of inflammation between the two dosages, whether you took 1250 or 2500, but both of them lowered these inflammatory markers. As Dr. Kecolt Glaser went on to discuss, this was the first study to show that omega-3 supplements lead to changes in inflammatory markers in the blood of overweight people. A lot has been done in healthy, thin individuals. But that isn't really the best reflection of our society, good or bad. So this was one of the first to do that. These were individuals who had a BMI that made them either overweight, about 91% of those were overweight, and 47% according to BMI, 47% were obese. Now going back to Dr. Kuchholz Glaser, quote, although omega-3 fatty acids cannot take the place of good health behaviors, people with established inflammatory diseases or conditions may benefit from their use. Now, part of the study was aimed at really looking at depression to see if omega-3 fatty acids could decrease depression. But the sample size of the people that they had, the symptoms were either too mild or they didn't have depression. So I'm sure further studies will be ongoing. But those omega-3 fatty acids, because of what they do, in the way that they do it, they lower inflammation. And that's where the data is taking us. Now, if you'd like more information on the role of fish oils and health, I really do encourage you to take a listen to my May 30th podcast. It was a rebroadcast of an interview that I did with Dr. Barry Sears, the inventor of the Zone Diet. And we spent about an hour discussing the role of fish oils in our health. It's a great, great discussion for anyone that is new to researching or understanding fish oils. I really encourage you to listen to that program. I think you'll really enjoy it and take away quite a bit. Additionally, you can always go to thehealthymind.com. In the search bar, just type in fish oils, and there will be a host of articles that I have posted with regards to fish oils and our health. But a great new study from Ohio State lowered inflammation in those who are overweight with omega-3 supplementation. Okay, this next story, just beautiful. I just loved it. The headline, "Don't Blame the TV." Parents turn their kids into couch potatoes. All right, now whether it is the new high-def TV that you have at home with all the 3D and a zillion channels that you have to pick from, or the latest video games, or the iPad, whatever it is, we know that kids in this country are increasingly sedentary. They're not getting out there. They're spending too much time sitting and looking at too many electronic screens. But before you go blaming that iPad or whatever the technology is, the gadgets, it turns out that parents play a major factor in whether young children are on the move. Now, these were two studies that came out, both from Oregon State University, and the researchers there examined how parenting style, whether a strict but loving parent or maybe a less involved and more permissive parent, was associated with sedentary behavior. And oh yes, it was. So what did they find? Well, overall, they found that children who had parents that weren't home that often and spent less time with their kids were getting, on average, about 30 minutes more time in front of the television each weekday. But wait, there's more. Even more disturbing to the lead author of this study, David Sharay, who is a doctoral student at Oregon State University, everyone of the children ages 2 to 4 were sitting more than several hours per day. According to him, quote, across all parenting styles, we saw anywhere from 4 to 5 hours of sedentary activity. This is waking hours, not including naps or feeding. This is an age where movement is essential, end of quotes. Now, how they set up this study, basically they grouped parents into 4 commonly used categories, and these were parenting styles. Number 1, authoritative parenting involving high warmth and control. Number 2, authoritarian parenting, which is controlling with less warmth. Number 3, permissive parenting with warmth but low control. And finally, number 4, neglectful parenting, low control and low warmth. Now, as I said, while all, every one of the children in this sample of about 200 families were sitting 4 to 5 hours in a typical day. Parents in the neglectful category had children who were spending up to a half hour more watching television or playing a video game or being on an iPad, whatever screen time it was. Now, you may not think that a half hour is very much, but according again to doctoral student Share, quote, add that up over a week, then a month, then a year, and you have a big impact. One child may be getting up to 4 more hours more activity play every week, and this sets the stage for the rest of their life. End of quotes. Okay, my fellow parents, have I made you feel just absolutely guilty and overwhelmed? I'm sorry, but there's more. The weekends. Oh, the weekends. We figure, hey, you know, we work so hard during the week. We don't give enough time to our kids, but we make it up during the weekends, right? Right, Dr. Zafiridis, please? Wrong. Just the opposite happened in the study. Sedentary time increased nearly 1 hour each weekend day. Oh, dear. Now, to conclude all this up, the basic emphasis here was to show the relationship between certain types of parenting and our child's activity. But the main point to take home is, as best as you can, realize as parents that what we instill in our children has profound impact, not just in the moment, but for the rest of their life, and especially when it comes to activity level. Oh, there's so many distractions, and it's so easy to plop the kid in front of the TV or hand him that iPad. But it's best if we don't do that, at least as best as we can. Now, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the remainder of the news headlines in a segment that I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines. Okay, the first headline. Seeing fattening food pictures triggers hunger and appetite. The proof is in the brain. Looking at images of high-calorie foods stimulates the brain's appetite control center and results in an increased desire for food, according to a recent endocrine study. The next headline. The effects of BPA exposure, bisphenol A, may last for generations. This is an important one. Exposure to low dosages of bisphenol A, BPA, which is a specific type of plastic, during gestation had immediate and long-lasting transgenerational effects on the brain and social behaviors in mice, according to a recent study in the journal Endocrinology. And finally, learn that tune while fast asleep. Want to nail that tune that you've practiced and practiced? Well, maybe you should take a nap with the same melody playing during your sleep. A new, very provocative Northwestern University research study suggests. Learn that tune while you're asleep. Oh dear, I'll have to remember that. I wonder how my wife would feel about me turning on Devo that late at night. Oh my. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have done it again. You and I, we have made it to the end of yet another broadcast of The Healthy Mind. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. As always, the website, www.thehealthymind.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. That's at Dr. Zafiridis. And any questions you may have, comments, anything, I want to hear from you. And a special thank you to all of you who have emailed me. I really do appreciate it. I read every one of those emails. The email address, peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. and 4, the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.